It hasn't gotten much attention in the news media, but Turkey's war against the Kurdish PKK insurgency has become an all-out mechanized urban conflict in the country's southeast. Civilians in the area have been under curfew, sometimes for days at a time, essentially trapped in the fighting and facing robotic night vision curfew-enforcing mobile units. Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan is promising to cleanse the Kurdish area of militants. Asla Aydintashbaş writes that this is a perilous situation in a NATO country that just hosted a G20 summit. Asla is a journalist living in Istanbul and a visiting fellow at the European Council on Foreign Relations who believes Turkey has just entered a new period of instability.
Well, certainly the images that I'm seeing and what we're reading in the news or on Twitter and social media, I should say, because there isn't much coverage in the news, but it does resemble pictures that are coming out of Syria in 2011, early stages of the Syrian war. But there are the pictures are showing buildings that are riddled with artillery or fire from the fighting the night before, and there's definitely full mobilization going on in terms of Turkish military. And the fighting at times is very fierce. People living in Diyarbakir tell me when they sit down for dinner at night and throughout the day, there's always a constant noise of tanks and artillery in the background.
And Diyarbakir is the biggest city there in eastern Turkey and has been very involved in all of this violence. What about cities closer to the border?
There is urban fighting going on in about 7-8 cities. Diyarbakir, its downtown, historic downtown of Diyarbakir called Sur District. What it is PKK-affiliated youth groups have declared self-rule or autonomy and are controlling entire neighborhoods or downtown areas. And the military is basically surrounded these areas, and the people are caught, and there's urban severe fighting going on, and I'm talking about tanks and artillery being used and rockets and whatnot. And civilians are essentially trapped between these two forces.
Does the Erdogan government have control over eastern Turkey at this point?
Well, I think neither side has full control over anything at this point. What it is the government does not want to admit that these groups, the militia groups, have a popular support in some areas. And the PKK itself does not want to admit that not all Kurds are supportive of their movement. So it's basically denial on both sides. And there has been peace talks between the government and the PKK for the last 3-4 years. And really a wonderful period of tranquility for people that live in eastern Turkey. But the talks have collapsed this summer. And since then, last I looked, we were talking about over 500 people dying, nearly 500 people dying. That includes soldiers, that includes militants, that includes civilians. And the civilian tally is about 124. I was just reading the letter from a kid who sent a letter to MPs talking about his mother's death and how they couldn't actually get her corpse in the street because they were worried that there'd be sharpshooters if they were to get the body. And last week it was a 3-month-old baby and a 5-year-old kid. So this is really taking its toll on civilians. There's curfews going on. And what it is there's very sophisticated machinery and machines that have night vision and shoot at any movement at night. So sometimes it would be a donkey, and sometimes it would be a bird, and sometimes it would be a civilian, and sometimes it would be a militant.
Asla, why is there no international profile of this conflict? And the U.S. seems to be supporting the Kurds in Iraq, and in Europe, there seems to be increased movement towards dealing with Turkey regarding the refugee crisis. So why is this instability going unnoticed?
This is very puzzling, especially considering that this is a NATO country. All this is happening in a NATO country that just hosted G20. I've been asking my friends in international media in terms of why they're not really covering it. And they say, we're dying to cover it, but we can't convince our editors who feel that readers have conflict fatigue from the region And we also can't convince them that it is a new story. They feel, oh, Turks and Kurds, it's more of the same. But it really isn't, because what you had in the 90s between Turks and Kurds, between PKK and the Turkish government, was skirmishes in the countryside, a fight here and there, but all in the countryside. This is very much like the Arab Spring, but it's far, but except it's armed and it's down. It's happening in downtown urban areas with civilians trapped. And on top, I think that there is a conflict fatigue in the region, that's for sure, in terms of the newsrooms. But Turkey is the only stable country in this region. And so we need to pay more attention, making sure that Turkey does not go down the path of its neighbors. I think that there's also a way that people, especially in European capitals and in Washington, tend to compartmentalize. So Kurds in Syria that are fighting ISIS are good. Kurds in Turkey that are taking on the Turkish government right now, well, let's just try to ignore that for now. But it is really part and parcel of the same movement.
Asla Adıtaşbaş is a journalist living in Istanbul and a visiting fellow at the European Council on Foreign Relations. Her piece in Politico on the unwinnable war in Turkey is currently online. Asla, thanks so much.
Thanks a lot.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.